Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Friday, August the 25th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 102, second paragraph down. Starts with, your job is to be at the place where you may be of maximum usefulness, through one paragraph ending with, and God will keep you unharmed. Just be studying that one paragraph only. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Davlin E., the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., the readers of the text are Lorraine N., Chanel P., and Julie E. B. The share ID for Thursday, August the 24th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,570. That's 20570. And for Friday, today, this morning, August the 25th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,572. That's 20572. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and our announcements person is Shelley E., and I thank you all for your service this month. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Davlin E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Davlin.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. My name is Davlin E., and I am a compulsive overeater living joyfully and gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Davlin E., and I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Rhonda R. in Atlanta, Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service in August. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 102. We are on the second paragraph down. Begins with, your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness. And it ends with, and God will keep you unharmed. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to get us started. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. Well, I don't go to sordid places anymore. Years ago, I kind of was drawn to sordid, seedy places. That was fun to me. But I understand what the book is saying here. but in my life, these days, I go to meetings, I go to the market, I go to the library, occasionally I go to church. So, you know, and I am of service to my family and the apartment complex where I live. I do a little service. And, you know, I don't have a huge social life. I'm 72 years old, and I have enough of a social life. But, you know, I reading this paragraph and listening to the meetings, I wonder, where it says here to be of maximum helpfulness to others. You know, I'm not sure that's always my motive when I go places. I'm realizing how, you know, selfish I am. But it reminds me to be more, you know, aware of how I can be helpful. And yeah, I'm just going to share. Recently, I went to a ladies' luncheon, and I don't know that my motives were all that perfect because I was just bored, and I lost a volunteer position that I had, and so I wanted to go meet some people. And I showed up, and I was stuck in a booth, which was my first mistake. But anyway, there were 9 ladies, and all of a sudden, this round of drinks came. I mean, I wasn't even paying attention. So I knew there was going to be food there. I've eaten at this place. It's not sorted. It's a very nice restaurant. I knew there was food there I could eat. But I wasn't expecting all the alcohol at noon. I mean, if it had been dinner, I don't think I would have even given it a thought. But out of 9 of us, only 2 of us did not drink alcohol. So, but I was stuck there. And I thought, okay, I'm here. And I did shoot up a quick prayer. And I just decided my service was to just be social and polite and interested in the conversations going on around me. And I knew I would probably not go back, but I did meet someone there that told me about a writing class that's coming up in my town. So I'm really excited about that. So, you know, I don't know if I'm really sharing directly on this, but that's kind of my life today. And I guess I will pass with that. Thanks for letting me share for the month of August. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Lorraine, for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 102, second paragraph. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness. And it ends with, and God will keep you unharmed. And just, I want to remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Bonnie B.
Okay, I got Bonnie B. And then there was 2 more after Bonnie.
Elaine G.
Christina J.
Tom L.
Okay, so Elaine G. And Christina. There was somebody else in there. I thought I heard somebody else. So I have Bonnie B. And I have Elaine J. And I have Christina J. And
you heard
and
Tom L.
Tom L. Okay.
Yes. And Davelin E.
Yeah, you're very, very kind to offer my name. Thank you.
Davelin E. And Tom L. All right, let's stop there. I have Bonnie B., Elaine G., Christina J., Tom L., and Davelin E. All right, Bonnie, everybody else, please mute your phone. And Bonnie B., you're up first. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Mo, for your service and everyone else and for the great opening chair. This is Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God today in the state of Minnesota. So this paragraph is just such a beautiful nugget because it tells me what my job is, right? My job now is to be at a place where I may be of maximum helpfulness to others. I couldn't do that when I was in the disease. So that maximum helpfulness to me means I live in 10, 11, and 12. It means emotional sobriety. If I'm emotionally sober, then I can see clearly what God would have me to be / do. If I'm not, I'm a hot mess. I tend to fall back to the selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful. I do 10 steps on a very, very, very regular basis. I had 4 yesterday. It's just my reality, right? But if I can clear it out, then I can actually be in that place where I can see what God would have me to be or do, or you know, maybe not be or not do, right, at times. But that maximum healthiness to others means that I'm available. And I was not emotionally available when I was in the food. I was present, but I was not able to look outside of myself.
And then the very last line where it says, keep on the firing line, this just means that I work my program. I work my program. I do what I need to do to stay connected with God so that I can be available when he places me in a position of, availability, right? Any place I go. For me, again, it comes down to help me to see what you would have me to see, say what you would want me to say, and think what you would want me to think about every single person that I bump into today. Help me to stay out of myself. And God keeps me unharmed. He keeps me safe and protected. I am the most grateful person. I mean, I'm sure there are many of us that would say the same thing. I am so grateful every day that I have a plan, I have a purpose, and he gives me the solution. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you very much, Bonnie B. Up next is Elaine G., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. I haven't been on this meeting because I've been into the food. And, I had all these sponsors that could have sponsored me, but now I'm being rebellious. But anyway, I'm helping people that don't want to be helped. I got one. I'm giving advice that's unsolicited. And, like someone had said, when you're into the food, you're really not thinking about anybody else but yourself. And I realize, now I'm glad I came today, that it's almost a spiritual awakening for me that I got to stop being selfish, and get myself a sponsor and be of maximum service to others. And that's it.
Thank you, Elaine G. Welcome back. Christina J., followed by Tom L. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Mo. Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. I haven't been able to be on this call very often because I'm usually working on Fridays, but today I'm not working. So I am 48 days out of the hole. So, and that was a deep hole this time. I got into a 10-month relapse, could not get out. So I have a new respect for the twist of the mind and the mental blank spot. And let me tell you, once that gets a hold of you, it's extremely dangerous. So I'm going to say just keep working the program, keep working it even though you don't feel like it, because that hole is always waiting for you to step into it. At any rate, my job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness. So this is step 12. This is chapter where you talk about step 12. By now, my job is to be at the place inside of myself, this is the way I'm reading it today, where I can be of maximum helpfulness to others. So I reached this point by this time in the steps where I can really be of maximum helpfulness. I shouldn't be tempted. I shouldn't be tempted by now. I've worked all the steps. I've got neutrality. But, temptation is always out there if I'm not working the steps. and I love this last line, keep on the firing line with these motives and God will keep you unharmed. Do you know that in all of my life, if I look back, I have been in so many sordid places. I'm a musician, so I have gone to some of the most deepest, darkest places in the world. I've toured in Europe, toured in the States, and some of those places were nasty and, just really dangerous places at times. And if I look back, my family was also, we moved a lot. We lived in a lot of dangerous neighborhoods. I mean, really dangerous neighborhoods, because my mom was on welfare, nothing against that. But we had to do what we had to do when I was a little girl in those neighborhoods. And who was protecting my backside? My precious father. And I don't have to be afraid today to go into these sordid places, because who's got my back? Who's got my back, especially if I'm doing service and being of help to others? I've said this many times on the line. I don't care about a lot of things in life anymore. But my heart yearns to be of service and help others that are suffering, and praying for those that irritate me. Every day I have a chance to go to a sordid place. Every day I can be helpful. Every day is a chance to be on the firing line. That's what I wanted to say. Every day is a firing line. There's always something that comes up, puts me right out in front, naked to the world. Not literally, of course. You wouldn't want to see that. naked in my being vulnerable, being honest, being raw, being real, being an example of how God would want me to be and do in this world. So, and that's what I have to share on this today. I miss everyone on this line. I used to share on this line all the time. And I welcome outreach for experience, strength, and hope, and I'd love to give some to. I pass. I'm in North Carolina on the member list.
Thank you very much, Christina J. Glad to have you this Friday. Up next is Tom L., followed by Davlin E., and after Davlin, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tom L. in California. I am a compulsive reader who is grateful today, and I appreciate the last share because I heard something that I need, which is the effect produced by this program, laughter. And, you know, intense joy in passing this on. I'm a man of effects. I have an addiction, several in fact. And I love the effect produced by those substances. And it, in this group, it is junk food. I love it. Sweet one day, salty the next. Vibe, go back and forth between those things. I can dream, I can sleep, I can laugh. In fact, my family has noticed that when I am sober, I lose my sense of humor. I'm a lot jollier when I'm under the influence. Because not eating doesn't help. It hurts. It hurts not to eat. So I have painfully worked the steps over the last 2 years from my previous relapse. Focusing much more on step two this time. I need a God who makes sense to me. Otherwise, nothing makes sense. Nothing in this book makes sense, especially this paragraph. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to help anyone. But with a higher power that makes sense to me, I can do the other work in this book. And right now, I am rocking and rolling. The sordid places, as an overeater, I'm an isolator. My sordid place is really my own apartment. My own room. I've been reduced to a room at some point in my life. No apartment. You know, I had to share an apartment. My room is a sordid place. It is a mess. It smells bad. There are boxes everywhere. There was one point where I was so insane, I was ashamed to go in front of my roommates to go to the bathroom. So I would keep urine in bottles just like that billionaire who, you know, everybody makes fun of. That's a terrible place. Guess what? We're there with them on this phone line. I know you are out there living in those small rooms, miserable, hating everyone. We have the blessing of technology allows us to be there. And why? Because I want to share this effect with you, fellow addicts, of just being glad to be alive and seeing how I can be helpful to other people. And thinking of ways, how can I be more helpful? Oh, I guess I also should, you know, 10 steps are, I'm very weak on the 10th step. So I admire people who do that many times a day. I need to work on that because when I'm caught and the worldly clamors, they come back. Unreasonable demands that I make on myself and other people make, the world makes, knock me out of this place of being in connection. I want to be in connection. I like the effect. And I want to share it with those who suffer from my obsession. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Tom L. And before I take Davlin E., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 102. The second paragraph down, your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness. And it ends with, and God will keep you unharmed. And after Davlin, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Davlin.
Good morning, Mo. This is Davlin E., living gratefully and joyfully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. This paragraph takes me to a place where I really notice that living in these steps with a higher power has really transformed me. It used to be in the old days that if somebody called that I didn't want to hear their voice or that I wasn't particularly happy with, I just didn't answer the phone. Or I made up a lie that I couldn't talk to them. I avoided people who made me feel uncomfortable. I avoided people who reminded me of who I was. I avoided people who were obese. I didn't want to be with people who were obese. They made me feel uncomfortable because they made me see myself in the mirror, the obese person that I was. I avoided people who were needy because I was so needy. So this paragraph where it says maximum helpfulness to others and in sordid places with sordid people, to me the maximum helpfulness is I pick up that phone when somebody calls me after a meeting and I'm so tired and I can hardly keep my eyes open because somebody probably needs something. And I don't avoid anyone. If there's someone who frustrates me at a meeting, if there's someone I think, oh God, I don't want to sponsor them, they're so needy, I do it because I know that my higher power has a lesson for me. My higher power is teaching me this. And so often I have just been blessed by someone that I picked up the phone to and spoke to 6 months ago shows up at a meeting in recovery. What more could a person ask to be maximally helpful to people? And it gives me such joy. And with that, thank you for listening, and I will pass.
And thank you, Javelin E. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you want to share today, let me have your name. Donna B first, and then Robin P.
And Mary Lou A.
Mary Lou.
Jen A.
Wendy M.
Jen, what was your last initial, Jen?
A as an apple.
A, okay. And who was after Jen?
Elizabeth.
Gay
B. I have Elizabeth, and then what? I had a KB?
Gay B.
Okay. So I have Elizabeth and then Gay B. I'll stop there. And Gay B. Okay, so I have Dana B. No, Donna B. I wrote it correctly. Robin P., Mary Lou A., Jen A., Elizabeth, I didn't get your last initial, and Gay B. That's a good lineup. Okay, Donna B., you're up first.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge vomit bulimic, and exercise bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And what I want to share in a strange way is sometimes for me the more sordid spot on earth is the spot on earth where I'm called on to be present, to put aside all my chores, to put aside all my obsessions, to put aside all my intrusive thinking, and to actually be present. So although I have a beautiful home and a beautiful family, sorted is sometimes exactly in the middle of all the beauty where I'm called upon to be present. That's challenging for me. That continues to be challenging for me. I get a high. I get an effect from being productive, from being efficient, from getting things done. And it's more difficult for me to experience that kind of high from connection, from service, from presence. I don't fully understand why that's so. But I'm grateful to be a part of this program that calls on me. It is a 12-step program, and the 12th step is to be working with others inside and outside of the rooms. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. Donna B., up next is Robin P., followed by Mary Lou A.
Hi, thanks so much, Mo. Thanks for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Charleston, South Carolina. this week. You know, wow, I really traveled a lot, and and accidentally during the past 7 years, you know, throughout Europe, you know, throughout the U.S., lived in Costa Rica for 2 years, and been to a lot of places, and I guess get to be of service to God and my fellows. And God, I feel like God is the great orchestra conductor in the sky. You know, bring in the Palmers, that's my Mary's last name, and bring in the other people. And right at the exact moment, we have this amazing conversation, and only God could have brought us together right when we needed that, or right when they needed that, or right, just this magical information that someone says, oh, by the way. And just every time there are angels on the way, as long as I am open and willing to be of service to God and my fellows and to show up. And showing up abstinently is so different than hiding alone in the food. And I think someone's unmuted, just check your mute status. And, you know, keep on the firing line with these motives and God will keep you unharmed. And we are looking for our right home and to live here at least half the year if it's God's will. And we are traveling through the southeastern part of the U.S. And I get to keep meeting people in program who I love. In every city so far, every town that we've gone to, I keep getting to meet people who I've gotten to know on the phone. And, you know, with them, go to the beach with them, like live life with them. And that's because I'm abstinent and living 11 and 12. Otherwise, whatever fear or resentment was keeping me, you know, isolated. And it's such a disease of isolation, and it's such a recovery of connecting with God and my fellows. And I'm so grateful. It's, you know, challenging a week at a time, you know, seeing what a town is like. Is this where God wants us to live? And meeting with realtors, checking out the town. And we're with two, you know, dogs who adopted us in Costa Rica, and we're in this van and then in hotel rooms, and they've only been on a leash for 3 months of their life. They were jungle dogs. They lived in the jungle their whole lives. And everything is God. God is taking care of us every single step of this journey. And at times it feels like, what are we doing? And God just keeps taking care of me. I'm so grateful to be abstinent. And I'm so grateful for the prayers. Mm-hmm. And for the people. God bless everybody. It was a really abstinent day I passed.
Thank you, Robin P. Mary Lou A, followed by Jen A. Good morning, Mary Lou.
Yes, good morning, Mo. Gosh, thank you for your service, and everyone is doing service today on the Vision Line. Mary Lou A, compulsive overeater, restrictor, just beautiful. All the shares, completely inspired to share myself. Ah, and what has come to me this morning is one of the most sorted places that I can go is actually oftentimes in my own mind, that place where I am listening to all the thoughts that flow in that tell me what I think I know, the thoughts of the disease. And one of the most amazing things is when I do service, I am out of that place. I am not identifying with that I, my mind, my self-centeredness, how things appear to me. When I can transcend that and open my heart and let my higher power lead me to be of maximum service, I experience myself as I think my true self, the God-centered self, the self that experiences people and this sordid place in my mind very, very differently. I see it as thought, the disease, and not what I used to call me and I. It is such an amazing gift of this program that we encourage each other to be in the sunlight of our higher power and to experience that unconditional love, to accept that we do have this place in our mind
And for me, it can be very, very sordid, especially if I am listening. And each time I open my heart to my higher power and to others and be of service, if it's just to listen, if it's just to put myself out as an outreach, that I can experience reality and myself in a very, very different way that is just changes me, transforms me little by little by little. And I can experience reality and other people in a way that my sordid thinking in the past, in the disease, in the food would never allow me. It would be all about me. You're keeping me waiting. I'm annoyed with you and blah, 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 blah. And all those eyes, my higher power gives me the gift of experiencing myself and others with each service very, very differently. Open heart, love, to give, to receive. Such a beautiful program. And I am so very, very grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mary Lou A. Up next is Jen A, followed by Elizabeth. Good morning, Jen A.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for taking the meeting today and for all these great shares and good stuff that I've heard this morning. My name is Jen A. I'm here in Colorado. And, you know, I was just sitting here reading this, my job. Thank God I have a new employer today, first of all. Thank God I have somebody. There's a power greater than me who's helping guide and direct me at this point in the steps. And he says to me, your job, and you should. You know, he's telling me what to do here. And if I keep on the firing lines, then he's going to keep me unharmed. That's a pretty big promise for a girl like me who was in the food for 40 plus years and couldn't get herself out and who killed herself with pills and potions, diets and exercise. And so the gratitude that I have for this God, this new employer, this Father that loves me is just huge today. The divine source of power is the love of my life, and it has to be. And, you know, I was just thinking what it was like, and this paragraph talks about going in to these sordid spots. You know, as a compulsive overeater, I don't know that there are sordid spots. I mean, I think this is written from the alcoholic perspective, but my office is a sordid spot, and I go there every day, and I see people harm themselves and abuse themselves with food, just like I did. And God's got me there for a reason. You know, he's helped me with a colleague whose daughter is anorexic, a colleague who's alcoholic, who just got out of rehab a few weeks ago. He's helping me with other colleagues they're so cute. If you could just plan and prepare all my meals, Jen, maybe I could eat just like you and then I'd stay skinny like you too. I mean, just those kind of comments, you know, I don't know if y'all get those, but I just think it's such a gift that today I am no longer in the food and I am no longer the bull in the china shop for the most part. I still have days. But that I get to go into those sordid places, the actual workspaces, homes, everywhere, and I see the problems and I feel the pain of the people around me. And that God's given me the perspective and I can see that they possibly need help. I don't know, but I can be there for them. And if and when they do, I'm there to support them with love and then show them what the solution is, because that's what I have. I don't sit around and feel sorry for myself anymore. Poor me, poor this, poor that. No, I have a solution today. And like it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, that one is God. May you find him now. I'm so grateful I found him, and I hope that if he leads me to others, that I can help them find him as well. Thanks, Mo, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jen A. Up next is Elizabeth, followed by Gay B. And after Gay, if we have time, we might get one or two more shares. Elizabeth, can I have the first initial of your last name? Good morning, Elizabeth. Press star one. I believe I heard an Elizabeth. Maybe I didn't.
Oh, I didn't realize that we go unmuted and muted on our own, on the meetings. The meeting does has its own will. I didn't know that. Yeah. So no wonder I'm not being heard. Elizabeth C here, and C like cat is my last, is my initial.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. I'm a compulsive overeater. This morning I read that spirituality is living a life that has a deeper meaning than the search for daily necessities. And the daily necessities for me is food, or trying to make my space better. But it says here, and I create a lot of jobs for myself. I keep myself busy. And I really like that it says, your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. And I think that means for me living a spiritual life, you know, and understanding that problems, you know, everything is spiritual, and that I'm not going to find the solution in my food. And so if I act as if, you know, I'm living that life, then I think that I'm an example to others, and I'm attracting others towards that spiritual life because they want what I have, right? But and then I wrote at the top of the page 102, do not think of what I can get, and I'm always thinking of what I can get out of situations, people, places, and things. I will go into the room, the break room, and think about what I can get. Like, it always crosses my mind, you know. It's all laid out for me. I can have whatever I want. But that's not going to help me stay spiritually fit or even get to the place of spiritually fit. So, and in helping others, I don't know how I can be helpful, and I mean, I guess it's a really good way to say or to think of it. You're like, do I go to a place? Do I go out to eat, to have dinner with friends, you know, to be subject, to be put myself in the way of harm, harm's way if I'm not being helpful? Because a lot of times recreation and friendship is about going out and just losing control. And so do I, no man is an island, right? So I have that feeling of like, wow, what's my place in that? I mean, I'm supposed to enjoy life. So this is good. And I know that this is talking about, you know, the food, you know, AA, to be helpful to those, to our fellows, to help pull them up. I think the best thing for me is to follow the spiritual path, and to not always search for the daily necessities, because the daily necessities are always there. And I have to trust that. I have to trust in the timing of things and my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Perfect timing. Elizabeth C. from California. And up next is Gay B.
Hi, my name is Gay.
Hello? Oops. Gay, you got disconnected. Press star one, Gay. Something happened. In the meantime, we have time for one more share. If somebody has a burning desire, share on page 102, the second paragraph down.
Hi, this is Phoebe B. from Vermont.
All right, Phoebe, you take it. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your service. I think there are no mistakes. I've been writing on step 12 today, and one of the things that has really struck me, and I spoke with two people this morning, one who's just coming out of relapse, one who's brand new in the program, that we can't have room for our higher power, or I can't, unless the food is down, because the food creates too much chatter, too much obsession. And the food has been down for me for quite a while, almost 7 years. And so how do I be of maximum service to these two people, one who's just coming out of relapse? One is to say that the food has to be down in order to be able to be open to live that spiritual life. You can't do that unless the food is down. And then secondly, I get to share with people my experience, which is their experience. And sordid places, I mean, as people were talking about sordid places, I can remember finding dumpsters that were far away from my home so that I could dump all the evidence of the binge that I just had, or finding a dark parking lot where I could eat the box of cupcakes, where nobody would see me, nobody would know me. Those are the sordid places, were the sordid places for me as a compulsive overeater. And I get to share those experiences with people who are new to the program, people in relapse or coming out of relapse. And then I also get to share my hope that, and that's what it is. We share our experience, strength, and hope. So our experience is critical. Our strength comes from our higher power, but we can't get that strength until the food is down. And hope is, okay, the food's been down for me for 7 years, and I get to live this spiritual life, but I understand exactly what that feels like. I have not forgotten what it feels like to try to find that dumpster or hide in that darkened parking lot in those sordid places. So I just want to say that it's pretty amazing. I don't go on this meeting very often, but this is exactly what I was writing on today, and I was thrilled to be able to share that with all of you. And so with that, I will pass.
All right. Thank you, Phoebe B. Is Gay B back on the line? We have about 2 minutes for you.
Yeah, I am back on the line. Thank you very much. Do I have time still?
Yeah, about 2 minutes.
Okay, great. Okay, this is actually my first time sharing on a vision meeting, and even being on the weekly meetings. I usually do the Sunday meetings. Anyway, my name is Gabby. I'm from New York. I'm going to pick up on, like somebody else did, on the last sentence of this paragraph, God will keep me unharmed, and put the emphasis on the word will. Not may, will. So that, for me, is a fact. That's a definite, that God will keep me unharmed. I really have no need to doubt anymore, because I've been abstinent 46 years and I'm not doing it. I couldn't stay abstinent for 46 minutes. So who's doing this? You know, giant question mark. And if I ever do have a doubt that God works miracles, I just have to look at my own experience and believe what's happened to me. My whole life has been, my whole adult life has been in OA. I got abstinent at 25 years old. So, my whole adult life has been here. And, you know, regarding this whole issue of my job is to be of maximum service to others, it's simple but not easy, because in order to do that, I have to have my own house in order on a daily basis, hence the steps, the tools, etc. And that requires unceasing surrender of my ego. So even though I had many years here, I'm still every day a newcomer to this program, to this way of life, because I need to revive it every day. I need to recommit to it every day. I need to remember that without God, I'm nothing. I'm really lost. And I have many days where I can't get to God because I'm not, I guess, okay. Anyway, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Gay. I'm glad you got back on the line, had time to share. And thank you all for all your shares. Great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Chanel P. to read for us. press star one, Chanel. I'll hear you. Julie,
Mo,
are you in a... Oh, who's that? Okay, Melanie, go ahead.
Okay, hang on one sec. I'll get to that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. Grateful for the opportunity to be able to read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. My apologies.